This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I did go back and answer a bunch of your questions for Ask Amy that I found on our social media, the ones that did not make it to the air. So if you haven't checked those out, make sure that you do. By far, the number one question I'm getting these days is, what's going on with the light? Well, it's still shining brightly, so intrusively. Not a thing has changed yet, but we believe that there is movement behind the scenes. Oh boy. I promise to let you know at the point at which the light finally goes off or is covered up, you will hear me exulting. I will put it online before I even enjoy the dark. Did you know there's such a thing as light pollution?
Oh, it's invading your yard.
Oh, it's so bad. The yard, every window in the back of our house.
I've had people call the call-in line and asking me, I don't want to get on the air, but I have some advice about the light.
Of course.
I'm like, all right.
Seriously, this is one of those topics that people have a lot of experience with and that people genuinely understand my frustration. But before I get disappointed and before I get depressed, let's leave the light in the background as much as is humanly possible. Let's ignore it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. My thanks to our friends at Westwood One, executive producer Mike Eby, who connected us with longtime NFL head coach Ron Rivera, most recently in Washington, though they've started a new regime there. He's working not just as a radio analyst for Westwood One, but also on NFL Network. And I encourage you to go and to listen to NFL Game Day or some of his other shows, maybe even the Thursday Night Football broadcast of the Vikings and Rams, because he gives you bite-sized chunks from a coach's brain that are... they're digestible and they're understandable and they really enhance what you're watching or what you're listening to. Love the fact that we have a chance to catch up with Ron Rivera right here on After Hours. And as I'm thinking about week number eight and the fact that we're nearly at the midway point of this season, I'm wondering, Coach Rivera, when you're in the middle of it, does it feel like it's dragging on slowly or does it feel like it flies by in a blur?
A little bit of both, but also the other thing that really helps is whether you've been winning or losing. I mean, because when you're losing, things get really tough. They really do, and because you're trying to find answers, you're trying to get your guys motivated, get them going in the right direction. When you're winning, it's happening so quickly, and really before you know it, you are at the halfway point. So it just kind of depends on how things have been going for you.
A phrase we hear all the time from coaches and players is that it's really hard to win even one game in this league. How hard is it to win a game, Coach?
It really is a lot harder than people think. You know, they think you can just show up if you're a really good team and win. No, you know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into winning and losing for that matter. Because, again, if things don't work, if things don't happen the way they're mapped out, you know, you've either got to adjust or you are going to get beat. So there is a lot of work that goes on into winning and losing, and it is hard. It's a lot harder than people think.
When teams are struggling to win, right away you hear calls for the coaches to be fired. Yep. Or owners have to come out and say, we're not making a change. What is that like to rip apart a team at the seams in the middle of a season?
It's very frustrating and it's very unfair. When you go through it, when you've been part of something like that, and, you know, a great example is after my second year as a head coach in the league, when I was in Carolina, I was 3-13 in games decided by a score or less, okay? And the owner showed the patience and gave me one more year, and before we know it, we're 13-3, and we win the division for the first time, you know, in a long time for that franchise. And then we go on to win two more divisions, so we win 3 in a row, first time it ever happened in our division, and go to the Super Bowl. But if the owner had given in and listened to people who supposedly know what's going on, who are experts about this stuff, you never get to that point. And so my point is sometimes it takes people opportunity to mature You look at what's happening to Sam Darnold right now. People gave up on him, and now all of a sudden, look what he's done. Look what he's done for Minnesota. I mean, it's just everybody's got to slow down, and you know, don't draw a map unless you've been there. This is not easy, and unless you've been through this, unless you've understood this, unless you're in charge. To me, it's just a lot of fodder, and I think it's very unfair for a lot of the coaches.
That voice, you know it. It's Ron Rivera, longtime NFL head coach, this year working with Westwood One and getting set to do Vikings and Rams coming up on Thursday night. Also see him on NFL Network, and I caught him on NFL Game Day not that long ago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The big move on this Wednesday, the DeAndre Hopkins trade to the Kansas City Chiefs. How would that combo potentially shake up the NFL?
Well, I think what it does is it gives a very good football team a very good veteran player that's going to help a lot. Just because of his presence, it's going to help that team. It really is. It's kind of what Buffalo did going out and getting Amari Cooper. I mean, I thought that was genius as well. Another veteran guy who's had a lot of success but is looking for that one last big opportunity. Again, just looking at what those franchises are doing, people aren't just waiting around anymore. People are being very aggressive. And really, before you even get close to start talking about the trade deadline, teams that recognize and see the value of veteran players have made some good moves, and I think it was a very strong move by Kansas City.
The Chiefs obviously have an established culture. They've got the great leadership that continues from year to year. There's consistency there. Even when so much changes around Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, still they're able to maintain that winning culture. And you hear that a lot about building a culture. There are so many teams in the NFL that are trying to do that. What are a few key factors when it comes to building a culture that's sustainable and that produces winning, Coach?
That's a great question. I mean, it really is because, you know, from what I've seen and what I've been around, I was part of Andy Reid's original coaching staff, that first group of young coaches that all came into Philadelphia with him and got to see him build something pretty good in Philadelphia firsthand. And the one thing I could say is, you know, you come in, you sit down what the rules are, what the expectations are, you set the standard, but then you also want the players to take responsibility. You want them to take ownership. You want them to take the lead in handling the players. Because, you know, when the head coach is always the one that's banging on the guys, that almost becomes a droning type of effect. But when the players start, you know, hey, trying to keep each other in line, support each other, push each other, hold one another accountable, that's a whole nother thing. When I was in Carolina and the year we went to the Super Bowl in 2015, one of the things that I really saw was I saw our veteran leadership take over. I saw these guys step up and start holding each other accountable. And really just one of those things, you say, God, you know, you preach it, you talk about it, but to see it in action and you sit there and go, you know what, we have a chance. We got a really good chance because of those guys, you know, because of the Thomas Davises and the Cam Newtons and the Luke Kuechlys and Charles Johnson and Ryan Khalil. I mean, when you got Greg Olsen, when you got those kind of veteran guys that are willing to put it on the line, take responsibility, take ownership, and hold each other accountable, as well as especially themselves, that's pretty special. To me, that's when you really know you've got a good culture, is when your guys are willing to step up and take over.
Okay, you've mentioned it a couple times. I have to know, what's it like to stand on the sidelines of a Super Bowl as it's getting ready to kick off?
You know, it's why you play the game. You know, it's why you get into the profession. When I played, and I was fortunate enough to be part of the 1985 Super Bowl Bears, there's nothing like it. It was so surreal. Being part of the team that won was even better because, believe me, you reach the peak, the pinnacle of your profession. When you become a coach, that's your next goal, is to reach the pinnacle, and that's to be a head coach, and then be a head coach that coaches in the Super Bowl, and then be one that wins one. I haven't won one yet as a coach, but being there is special. Being there is a culmination of everything you've worked for. Now, you know, just got to win one. And, you know, I got there because, again, as you talked about, Amy, and that was the culture. I thought we had the right kind of culture, the culture you needed to have that gives you an opportunity to win football games.
Ron Rivera is with us here After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So excited to have you for a few minutes with us, Coach. The process of building a winning culture, realistically, if you have the ability to bring in veterans and you have the support of ownership in the front office, how long should it take or how long can it take?
It could happen instantly if you got the right group of veteran guys. It really can. I mean, it can flip that quickly. To me, I think it's usually a three-year process, because what happens is, you know, you've got to get everybody in place. You've got to have the guys working together. It takes a little bit of time to develop that core. But if you walk into a really good situation, you can really flourish early. And probably the best situation to walk in today is either to have an established veteran as your quarterback, mm-hmm. or you draft your quarterback and you build from there. There are some teams right now in the last few years have really stepped into something really good by drafting the right guy. I mean, C.J. Stroud is a guy that comes to mind. Brock Purdy comes to mind. The other two guys that were drafted this year, and you sit there and go, wow, C.J. and Jaden all have that ability and have that opportunity. And there's a couple of young guys that you wonder about. Will Drake May become that guy eventually? You know, will Penix, will Bo Nix? This is such a cool situation to be in right now in the NFL, and that is there's a lot of good young quarterbacks. This is a quarterback-driven league. If your quarterback can manage a game, not make the mistakes that cost games, and then make plays when you need them to make plays, you've got a much better chance, in my opinion, to win your division, to get into the playoffs, and win in the playoffs. You have to have that guy. That's why everybody's looking for it, and teams that, you know, that fall to the wayside quickly never find that guy. And it's, I mean, I was very fortunate. I, you know, we drafted Cam Newton, and he became that guy for us. And I just think he's really a guy that, you know, did everything the right way to help us get to where we wanted to be.
You mentioned Jaden Daniels, one of your former franchises. And while you were there, there was so much transition, everything from a name change to a revolving door quarterback. Then, of course, they change ownership. But what stands out to you about the beginning of this season in terms of that building a culture and building a winning team?
You know, how quickly for them it started with Jaden. I mean, you know, you get the second pick. And there was a plethora of really good young quarterbacks coming out. They really were. There were at least six, seven, eight guys that you are going to have a chance to grow and develop. The first two, obviously, both Heisman Trophy winners, the last two Heisman Trophy winners, both guys have stepped into really good situations. You know, looking at what happened for Chicago, Caleb has, you know, the defense already in place. He's got some really good playmakers around him. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore are, I think, two of the really good pass catchers in this league. You got Kmet at tight end, who is as good at catching as a receiving tight end, as a blocking tight end. He reminds me so much of Greg Olsen. Sustainable running game that's going to help you with play action pass, and an offensive line that's growing. And so he's in a great spot. Then you turn around and look at what Jaden Daniels has. The defense isn't where the Bears' defense is yet, but they're heading in that direction. Dan Quinn's done a tremendous job with that group of guys. I really like what Cliff Kingsbury has done on the offensive side. And one thing that I've been doing this year, Amy, is I've been tracking the growth and development of all the young quarterbacks in the league. Every week I get an update on any of the rookie quarterbacks that started a game, and I just start comparing notes and start looking at, you know, like what's been going on. And I'll give you an example of some of the things that I've taken a look at. I've asked the question of, when you look at rookie quarterbacks, what are some of the tendencies you've got to look at? Well, average time to throw. Okay, Jaden Daniels is 2.58. The average in the league is right around 2.8. He's getting the ball out of his hands quicker than anybody. Why? Because part of it is what Cliff Kingsbury is calling. He understands how important it is for your quarterback to be able to be very decisive, get the ball out of his hands. Average air yards, how far the ball will travel before it gets caught. Drake May was at 6.6, Daniels at 7.3. Okay, the average on the league is like 7.6. So these guys are getting the ball out of their young players' hands quickly, so they're not there getting hit. These are the kinds of things that you see coordinators doing on purpose, and that's what Cliff Kingsbury has done. He's gotten the ball out of his quarterback's hand. He's given them good, solid, fundamental reads that allow him to make quick decisions. He's not taking big hits. Unfortunately, he did take a big hit the other day, scrambling, or running, I should say. And so that's kind of hurt him. But what I've also seen is teams are playing Jaden Daniels. They're not pressuring him as much as you would think they would. You know, he's faced probably some of the least amount of pressures.
Interesting.
The quarterback pressure percentage on Jaden Daniels, 30.6. League average, 33.8.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, and it's interesting because some of these things that these coordinators are doing are really smart. Play action, pass percentage. Jaden Daniels is at 31.1. The average in the league is 23.2. So, again, somewhere along the line, Cliff Kingsbury has come up with a really good way of preserving his young quarterback by getting the ball out of his hands and downfield to his receivers.
Ooh, just a couple of reasons why you need to listen to Ron Rivera as part of the Westwood One coverage of Thursday night football between the Vikings and the Rams. That's taking place in L.A. coming up just a few hours from now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So, Coach, you spent some time in the NFC North as both a player as well as a D.C.
Yep.
with the Chicago Bears. That has turned into the best division in football. Well. What impresses you about the North right now?
Everybody wants to get all excited about it, but the truth of the matter is until they start playing each other, then things balance out. Then you see what happens. So to sit there and tab somebody the best right now is maybe they're the division with the best records. But when they start playing each other, like we saw the other night, you know, we saw Detroit, Minnesota came down to Detroit at the end of the game. Okay, when they start beating each other up, now you're going to start going, wow, this is crazy because, again, look at how good they are. They really are. They've played a lot of teams that with average to okay records. When you start playing against each other, now you start seeing the separation. You know what I'm saying? And so this is going to be a real interesting next few weeks when you start mm-hmm. seeing a lot of these interdivision games start coming up.
Ron Rivera, longtime head coach of the Carolina Panthers and Washington Commanders, and to hear him talk football, he clearly has knowledge, wisdom, experience, and also a passion for it. I did ask him if he wants to coach again, but you're going to have to wait until the second part of our conversation, which comes up after this break. This portion of the show is sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, plus our Facebook page. I am giddy. I'm excited. I hope you are too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Continuing my conversation with longtime NFL head coach Ron Rivera. If you've missed any of it, you want to go back and check it out again. It will be part of our podcast moments after the show is done. I talked to him moments before the show began because of his schedule traveling. We wanted to accommodate him, but it was just a couple hours ago that I was on the phone with Riverboat Ron Rivera, who is getting ready to do the Thursday night game between the Vikings and the Rams on Westwood One. You can also catch him on NFL Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I did welcome Ron to the dark side from a longtime member of the media. That got a laugh from him. But I also knew I had to ask him the question about his future. My audience would kill me if I did not bring it up, Ron Rivera. Do you want to be back on the sidelines as a coach again in the future?
Well, you know what? I'm taking it one week at a time, to be honest with you. If the opportunity comes, I won't turn the opportunity to look, that's for sure.
Okay.
I won't turn that down. I really won't. But I will say, the really neat thing is I've gotten a lot of different perspectives. Like so I told Jamie, I've been looking at analytics a lot more now, and I look at it from a different lens, too. You know, the biggest thing I've learned is people keep forgetting analytics is just a tool. It's not the answer. Analytics can tell you what the percentage is at that point in time of going for it is, but it can't tell you if your left tackle isn't playing as well as he should be, and so he's more likely to give up a hit on your quarterback than he is to protect them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that there are certain factors that aren't measured. Weather is not measured. Injuries is not measured. Refereeing is not measured, okay? whether somebody's having a good game or not. Those things aren't measured. So you as a coach have to think through all those. And that's some of the stuff I'm starting to see. The other things I've seen, I started to see it last year too, is why do you do certain things in a game? Certain teams aren't as strong when you run the ball inside between, you know, the B and C gaps to your right side of your offense because there's a weakness on the left side of there. You look at those analytics differently now when you have the time, but also
yeah.
some of the insight, you know, that I've seen is because the attitude of looking at it, again, from a different lens. It's not just because the percentage says go for it. Oh, you know, you're 92% chance going to win if you go for it. Well, no. If you go for it and it works, you know, that's 92%. If you go for it and lose it, you're that 8% that it's not your turn to get it done. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We just because we hear a high number, we forget about the low number. Well, the low number comes up. Okay. It may only come up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6% of the time, but it's still possible that it could happen. And so people got to start looking at analytics not as the answer, but a tool to help you find the right answer.
Do you enjoy doing the radio and TV thing?
Yeah, I do. I enjoy talking about the game. It keeps me involved. Like I said, it gives me a chance to look at things from a different perspective. I've garnered some different attitudes, different ideas. I've had a chance to talk to different coaches and listen to their philosophies, their ideas, you know, as they're getting ready for game day. And to me, that's been fascinating as well, just listening to, you know, my brethren about the way they look at things, the way they approach things. And I think it's also given me some different ideas and different thoughts.
Are they jealous of the extra sleep you're getting?
They're jealous of the extra sleep, the opportunity to play a little bit of golf. I mean, that's the other thing that's been a little bit crazy. You know, I play a little bit more golf. Amy, I've got an opportunity to take a break and just kind of cleanse a little bit and really kind of say, you know, if I do decide to get back in, one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to have to manage. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to manage. I want to coach. I want X's and O's. I want player development and growth. All the other stuff, that's fine. That's dandy. I don't need that. Believe me, I've done it. Last few years have been really difficult, just having to not be able to focus solely and purposely on football. If I get back in, that's what I want. I just want to be involved in football, with coaching, decision-making about the football team on the field and on the practice, game planning. And again, player growth and development to me is huge.
Will you keep the Riverboat Ron nickname, though?
Oh, most certainly. No, because I'm telling you, and I said it, you know, when I first got the nickname, really there was an analytical approach. I was doing fourth downs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Before it became in vogue because everybody's following analytics.
Yes.
I did it because of my experience and knowing that in certain situations, certain circumstances. And this is one thing, too, that you don't get measured by analytics. Momentum. How to swing the momentum back. You know, there's no analytics that can tell you when you can onside kick. You can't do it anymore. When you should run a fake punt, a fake field goal. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing that tells you what the right moment is. When you're in a game and you've got a 14-point lead coming back into the second half, and the team that you're winning by 14 over takes the ball on the opening kickoff and drives it down your throat in the second half, and then they're forcing a 3-and-out, and you're going, oh my God, they're getting the momentum back. How do I change it? And then you decide to run a fake punt, and you get it, and then you take that momentum back. That's not measurable. You know that.
Right. A lot of that's instinct and wisdom and experience.
Yeah. And again, just sometimes a little bit of luck, too.
Clearly, you have a passion for it. And so I do hope that we get to see you on the sidelines again in some role, in some capacity, because it's not quite the same in the NFL without Ron Rivera on the sidelines. So you can hear him while he's doing media Thursday night broadcast on Westwood One of Vikings at Rams. It's a great listen, and also online at Riverboat Ron HC. That's where you can find him. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. It's great to talk to you.
I appreciate it, Amy. Thanks, and enjoy listening as well. All righty.
Wow. Pete. Instant reaction. Don't people do that online all the time now? Instant reaction.
He doesn't, for first, he doesn't sound like he wants to take the head reins of a coaching gig.
No, it sounds like he'd prefer to be a coordinator or prefer to be a position coach, doesn't it?
Yeah, and he, I'll be honest, I don't think he needs to. I think he could be a great analyst for the rest of his career because probably save a lot of stress.
I do miss him on the sidelines, though. I think he's really good at coaching. He's big into discipline and certainly understands, because he trained under Andy Reid, which I didn't realize until he told me that earlier in the interview. He was part of that initial group of young coaches with Andy Reid in Philadelphia, so he learned it the right way. It was enlightening to hear him say that he doesn't want to manage again, that the last few years took their toll and he's not interested in going back and doing that, but he's excited about coaching and player development. And to hear him rave about the time away, this actually reminded me of Mike McCarthy. Remember, McCarthy got bounced by the Packers. He took a year with a bunch of his coaching friends and they just watched the game and they looked at analytics and they talked about different ways to be innovative with their coaching. And then he got back to it with a renewed sense of excitement and enthusiasm. And even if he doesn't go back as a head coach, gosh, the football world would miss him if he was never on the sidelines again.
Yeah, sometimes you need a recharge. And he's very smart, a very smart man, you can tell. He'll probably be back on the sideline next year or a season after in a coordinator position. But he could, like I said, I enjoyed hearing him talk about the game. He's one of those guys that you could hear talk about the game for hours.
Yeah, absolutely could, which is why I wanted to get him after hearing him on Westwood One as well as NFL Game Day, or NFL Network Game Day. So that was awesome. Yay. Again, we'll put the whole thing on our podcast. It'll be available a few minutes after the show is done. And then we share the link later in the day, Thursday, on both our Twix as well as our Facebook. 855-212-4227. Marco Belletti's here with us in studio. And that's kind of breaking news. You know, Ron Rivera doesn't really want to go back and be a head coach again, but he'll listen to anyone who offers. But I asked you the question last hour, so we're going to do a hard pivot about how much you think it should cost to go to a laundromat and run a load of wash and then dry it.
Think it should or think it does?
Okay.
Those are two different questions.
Do you have washer and dryer at your house?
I do.
Okay, good. With three kids, you definitely need to have a washer and dryer at your house. Heavens, with a husband and a dog, I need to have a washer and dryer at my house more than I ever did. How much ballpark do you think it cost in our part of the country? Now, granted, it may not be exactly like this everywhere, but in our part of the country to run a washer, one load of wash and dry.
Now, it's been a few years, but I know it was over $2. I don't remember exactly the last time I had to do this stuff, so I'm going to take a guess and say somewhere in the $350 range per wash.
Per wash. Okay. Dryer, same thing?
Dryer, I forget, was always a little bit less, if memory serves, but not by much. Like, you know, whatever, $325, $3. It was somewhere in, I'm going to give you somewhere in that area.
Okay. So maybe about $6 total.
Yeah, 6 to 7.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So I asked my husband when he got back from the laundromat, how much was it, thinking it might be $2-$3, and was going to tell him, hey, while you're gone this weekend, he's going camping with my brother, I'll go do another load. And then he says to me, actually, it was $10. So he had to feed $6.50 worth of quarters into the washer, and he had them, but he had to $6.50. If inflation hits the laundromat, $6.50 to run a load of wash, and then another $4 for the dryer.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
He had that in quarters?
He did. That's not really the point, though, Marco.
Really?
He did. He had rolls of quarters.
Because I feel like he would weigh quite a bit more than he should weigh.
I think he put it in the basket on top. I made him a little baggy gift pack of the laundry, because my husband would go without the soap. That's what he would do. He would go without the soap, he wouldn't even know what a dryer sheet is if it like hit him in the face. Huh. And so I gave him a little pack of the supplies that he needed, and he grabbed a couple rolls of quarters. But $10? Laundromats are, I think, in large part are supposed to very often serve communities or serve families that don't either live in apartments, rent apartments, or don't have the money to buy a washer and dryer, something along those lines. And I'm not saying all of the people who use a laundromat, but a lot of people, it's because they don't have it at home in their own place. And you're charging them $10 for a wash and a dry?
That's too much, yeah. Yes. But I mean, I actually know some people that own laundromats. They're doing that for profit. So they don't really care why you're coming in here. No. They're making their own money and they're owning a place, a business. So that part of
it's cheaper to buy more underwear, for heaven's sakes.
Might.
Yeah. Heavens. So we're into week 3 without a washer and dryer. So this was our emergency load. We have plenty of towels. My goodness, we have towels enough for a family of 21, just based on I had towels and he had towels. We kept all the towels. And so we have other stuff that we don't have to wash. Dish towels, same thing, jeans, blah, blah, whatever. But we do not have some of the essentials. And so we had to do a load. $10. $10.
You know, I'm surprised it's not higher.
What?
Because
$10?
Well, everything's high. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But I was stunned by that.
How much does an extension cord cost?
You mean to plug it in from outside?
We do. And a dryer.
Actually, we have two washers and two dryers. That's the point that we're building this little laundry room, because his full-size washer and dryer, they don't fit where my little stackables were. So we're just building a little mud room on the back of the house. And for that reason, you know, we can then house the new... I tell people I married him for his washer and dryer. Okay. So they're full size. But the room is not quite done yet. We do have electricity. We do have plumbing. Mm-hmm. Those have passed inspection. Oh, my gosh. On Wednesday. Wednesday, we got the shingles on the roof. And we got tile. We have tile on our floor now, which is amazing. But we don't... Okay. Yeah, we don't yet have the... insulation the what comes first, insulation or sheetrock? I have no idea. I'm not good at
insulation.
These things.
Okay. First, yes.
So insulation first. I think it's the pink stuff.
Yes.
Then the sheetrock, and then the siding is to go the outside and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So we don't have the walls yet. We have the frame. We don't have the walls yet. And there's no door on it, which makes me nervous because I think little animals are going to run in and find right now it's open.
Possible.
So yeah, they could get into our house. I got a little nervous about that and made him tape it up. It might be too late. There might be a family or an army of mice already in the house.
Or a bear.
Possible.
A bear. It's a small.
Could be. Never know.
You know what? Eric Burns had a bear on his bar.
That's what I'm saying.
I just watched that video.
That's true. Good point. So anyway, I'm a little nervous about it, but it should be done in a week and a half-ish.
Which is good. I'm going to go back to the same thing, though.
Ish.
Extension cord. I'm pretty sure you can get that.
Just plug it in outside?
Yeah.
And put the washer and dryer on the neighbor's lawn.
How do you connect the water that far?
I mean, you said you got the connection to the water. I mean, can't you just get it near?
Just sit it out in the yard and stick the water hose through the window.
Yeah,
all right.
Not bad.
If you have to.
I'm going to suggest it. I'm not going to the laundromat and paying $10
I'm trying to give you a
thank
different...
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, if you have got the ability in the last week or so,
right?
If not, you got to bite the bullet. But again, I'm going to go back to the fact that you can do this now, though, with like credit cards, right? You don't have to have...
It's still $10.
I'm aware, but you don't have to have
crazy.
Quarters. You know, because when the last time I did it, I had to have quarters.
Mm.
And that was like the bane of my existence, constantly trying to find quarters to be able to... And again... $4 worth of quarters, $5, $8, whatever it was, $10.
Total insanity.
I mean, like, this is not easy to do. You got to go to the bank. Who goes to the bank?
With the very intrusive light on the garage next door, if I need to do laundry at night outside in the yard, I certainly can. I've got a floodlight pointing right at me. Actually, it's brighter than a floodlight. It's a security light. That's what the town inspector called it.
Okay.
A security light. He said it's a no-no. That's what he said.
But then some of these laundromats also run the scam when you don't have quarters and you need to get these cards and you have to pay $2 to get the card.
It's like riding the subway. You have to pay for the card.
It's ridiculous. So
a little bit.
So, quarters might be the best
way to go. It's all about profit, as Marco points out. Even laundromat owners have to eat.
It is a business.
It is a business.
It's a good business, actually.
When are they gouging?
These days, it feels like it'd be a lot cheaper just to buy the washer and dryer, right? Which reminds me,
if you've got the space, that's the part of it that goes into it.
We're trying to give away my old dryer. It's one of those that's been discontinued. So if it dies, there's nothing you can do about it. So we're just going to give it away. It's still running. It's just, who knows how much longer it'll run. Our washer, I just had to buy one a year ago, which sucked, right? 3 months before I got married, I had to buy a new washer. But we've used it for a year. It's one of those smart washers. And I paid about $1,000 for it, I think. That was the cheapest I could find. And now I want to sell it for a lot less. So if, you know, anyone you know needs a new washer.
I'm sorry. I'm out. Mine's got to be 25 years old. But it's still, plug it away.
That's the best thing.
Should put it in the newsroom. A lot of people sleep here, so I need to wash it.
You know what? That's fair.
Who's going to pay me for that, though? I want someone to pay me a little bit for it.
Well,
You should charge like a laundromat, $5 a wash.
I don't want traffic in my, no way. I'm good. I have an intrusive light. I don't need intrusive traffic.
No, here. You mean here.
Charge people? Put a quarter machine on it or slot machine on it?
Yeah.
Put it right next to Axe.
Well, just put the word out. If anyone you know needs a new washer, I'm selling it for very cheap. Okay? Anyone you know, just keep it in mind. If yours dies tomorrow, keep it in mind.
You know, see, don't put that on me. Oh, come on, don't put that evil on me.
Because knocking is going.
I don't need that. Okay, evil. Everything's busted in my house. I don't need something else to break.
Here's what'll happen. It's not going to break.
Here's what'll happen. You'll give away the washer.
No, I'm not doing that.
Well, you'll sell it.
I'll sell it.
And then
Marcos will die.
Will die.
Oh. That would suck.
See, well, mine again will die.
He's never going to work with us again after that.
I've had to fix the thing a few times. I just fixed the dryer not long ago, maybe a month ago,
a month and a half ago. Very impressive.
What?
That you fixed it all by yourself?
No. I had someone come, and I paid them, and they fixed it. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
I thought you said you fixed it.
No. Well, I had to have it fixed. That's basically the concept. I can't fix the dryer. If I could fix the dryer, I wouldn't care if it broke. That's the problem. I don't know how to do it. I got to pay somebody.
All right, then. It's good news. At A-Law Radio, if you need a washer, I'm selling it for cheap. It's a good smart washer. It's a
little company won't buy it.
A little high tech. No, the company.
I do think if you put it here, though, somebody would. I don't think the company's going to buy it. So
no way. There's no way.
But you could charge a lot of people to wash their clothes that sleep here.
Could you imagine?
Yes, I can.
Just put it here in the studio.
Yes, I can. Because I could have used it. Some of those blizzards that I was here for like four straight days, I could have used it.
I remember those. Those were fun.
I could have used it.
855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And AM, we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Despite being the two-time defending champs and the only unbeaten team still remaining in the NFL, Chiefs not resting on their laurels. Reportedly land 12-year veteran DeAndre Hopkins from the Titans in exchange for a conditional fifth-round pick. Chiefs need a wideout as the injuries to Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown. Panthers going Bryce Young against the Broncos. Andy Dalton suffered a sprained thumb in a car accident earlier this week. Browns going to Jameis Winston at QB, former number one overall pick, back in a starting role.
I'm extremely grateful to have yet another opportunity to do what the Lord has called me to do in the NFL, and that's be a starting NFL quarterback. I'm beyond grateful for this. And I am prepared, and I would do my very best.
Not the only change. Ken Dorsey will be calling the plays. First time since Kevin Stefanski took over in 2020 that he won't be the signal caller. Former Jets head coach Robert Saleh has joined the Packers staff, that in an undefined role. Jaden Daniels did not practice for Washington, dealing with a rib injury. Unclear if he'll be able to play Sunday against the Bears. NBA, the Bucks with a big-time statement to open up their season.
Here's a three-pointer from Lillard, and he strikes again. His assault continues from three-point range. Dame now sitting with 29 points on his sixth made three-pointer tonight. 92-73.
30 for Damian Lillard. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 25 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists. Bucks roll the Sixers, 124-109. No Joel Embiid in this one. The NBA is said to be investigating the Sixers concerning his participation level, as he's not expected to play this week. Call courtesy of the Bucks Radio Network. As for the Pelicans, led up the Bulls, 123-111, but they reportedly lost DeJounte Murray to a broken left hand. Suns outlast the Clippers, 116-113 in overtime. Kevin Durant at 25. Pacers took out the Pistons, 115-109. Hawks outscored the Nets, 120-116. Cavs pound the Raptors, 136-106. Warriors dominate the Blazers, 139-104. Grizzlies upend the Jazz, 126-124. Magic overwhelmed the Heat, 116-97. And the Hornets bounced the Rockets, 110-105, behind 34 points, 8 rebounds, and 11 assists from LaMelo Ball. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Rodgers with a shotgun. Takes the snap, drops back, four-man rush, looks left, fires one over the middle, and it is intercepted. Picked off, intended for Garrett Wilson. And running the deep middle and picking it off was the rookie Beanie Bishop. Rodgers set for the shotgun snap, second and 10, Jets at their own 23. He's back to throw, looking downfield, floats one left sideline, drops it in, bounces up in the air, and it's picked off by Beanie Bishop off the chest plate of Garrett Wilson. Running left, Bishop to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, at the 5, dragged down from behind, just short of the goal line.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
The New York Jets have still not been able to figure it out, even after firing Robert Saleh, even after acquiring Devontae Adams. But as it turns out, their new veteran wide receiver made a plea and gave a fiery speech to the Jets locker room after Sunday night's loss to the Steelers. The call is there from Bob Wischusen on Jets radio. Adams called it a dead sideline. A dead sideline. Of course, dejected, maybe a little depressed. Why did he speak to the team once they had lost that first game with him on board?
Just basically, I just took a moment to let them know, like, I had reservations about speaking up too early and being too vocal too early, but I felt like, you know, in my mind, I said, F that, because I need to, you know, we don't have time, and I got to do whatever I got to do to help this team move forward. It wasn't necessarily that guys weren't playing hard, but we weren't out there celebrating together. We weren't playing, you know, didn't feel like a whole lot of fun was being had. I have fun every time I step out on the field. You know, it's a mindset you got to have. You got to make up your mind before you get out of bed, you know, playing this game. And I just didn't feel like it was all the way there.
Aaron Rodgers called it the realest speech I'd ever heard in a locker room in 20 years. And so Devontae Adams takes this leadership role with a group of guys, some of whom he'd known previously, like Alan Lazard, of course, Aaron, but felt like he needed to speak up, even though he might have been stepping into something where his voice wasn't necessarily welcome. But here are the Jets, who dropped 4 straight games. They've already fired their head coach. And Devontae admits, I would not have been able to sleep if I hadn't opened up. A dead sideline. And still, you've got Aaron Rodgers pointing out they are one win away from turning this Titanic around.
I mean, every year presents its own challenges, and thankfully we're not to the denouement of this season. You know, there's still a lot of time left. I think it's important that we all just stay as sanguine as possible. You know, it's a long season. There's a lot of ups and downs. We've had a lot of adversity already this season.
Now, Aaron Rodgers admits that at times there had been a lack of energy, right? He was even saying earlier, I think it was Sunday night actually, following the game, that he felt like they didn't have a lot of energy on the sidelines, which he found to be strange, that it was a nationally televised game. It was an opportunity for them. They were on the road in hostile territory. Usually they would be up for that. And then Devontae Adams echoes that same thing, that he didn't see the passion that he expected with his new teammates. And remember, the Jets were up by double scores, not double. They were up by 2 scores, not double digits, in the game. And so you've got both Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams as veteran leaders on this team making that same observation. to come out flat like that. And in Rodgers' case, he said, we essentially gave the game away. So it's thinking about those teams like the Jets who are sitting in unenviable positions. 2-5. That's the Jets. What other teams? Bengals, they're 3-4. Jaguars, they're 2-5. Do you think they have a run in them? Because we saw the Bills last year rattle off 5 straight wins to wrap up the regular season and retain the AFC East title. Which teams out there do you think are eligible or have the makeup, the chemistry, the motivation, the leadership to make a run like that? Could it be the Raiders? Actually, they did it last year for a while after Antonio Pierce took over. He doesn't know why they're 2-5. He says he certainly expected them to be better. The Cowboys right now are sitting at 3-3. Do you have any hopes for them to make a run? The Niners are 3-4. What about those veterans, even with all the injuries? Could they lead San Francisco to a run into the playoffs? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.